You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I'm going to say something that might sound controversial, but it's beautiful. There is only one way to God, and it's through Jesus. But in Jesus, there are many ways to connect with God. This morning, I'm teaching on Supernatural Encounters, part 3, connect with God through solitude and expression. Let's pray. So, Father, we just thank you for today. Lord, we thank you that your Spirit is here. Lord, I thank you that you've been here at the first service. You're here today. And Lord, we just declare that we're not making room for you. We're giving you the entire room. Holy Spirit, you are the guest of honor. So I pray right now that you would breathe upon your Logos word. I pray it would become Rhema. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, minds to understand what your Spirit is saying today. Father, I thank you right now. We declare no spirit, but the Holy Spirit is welcome in this house. We say fear, you have to go. Spirit of religion, you have to go. I pray confusion, you have to go. And I declare, Holy Spirit, come, rule and reign in this place. Father, I thank you. No one came to hear me. We all came to hear you. So we say, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. And all God's people said, amen and amen. The prophetic word over this house is 2021 would be a year of the supernatural. I was running on the trail this week praying, and I heard the Lord speak loud in my spirit. It is still the year of the supernatural. Part of supernatural personal growth is your ability to steward a prophetic word past a service. We've been stewarding this word all year long, and I refuse to put it down. God said it'd be an Ephesians 3:20 year. It'd be a year of exceedingly abundantly beyond what we could ever ask or think according to his power that works in us. The Lord spoke to me and said it's still the year of the supernatural. That means we're still going to experience what is beyond our ability. We're going to experience the glory of God this year. You're not done supernaturally, personally growing, and we're not done numerically growing at Mercy Culture Church. It is still the year of the supernatural. We're in a series or a season called Supernatural Encounters. That means encountering God beyond your ability. We declared in part 1, daily encounters. Daily encounters lead to supernatural encounters. In part 2, we talked about connecting with God through movement and conversation. And I do not have time today to recap all of that, but it's on the podcast and the YouTube. If you did not listen to part 1, Daily Encounters, it is the foundation of this house. It's important that you listen to that message. But I just wanted to let you know, here's what we're doing. The first step to supernatural encounters is connecting with God daily. Turn to your neighbor and say daily. Turn to your second choice and say daily. The second step is learning how you best connect with God. We're going to be doing that for the rest of the year, learning different ways to connect with God. And the third is continuing to grow in your ability to connect with God. I want to give you a few cautions before we continue. Never try to mimic or connect with God the way someone else does, or don't compare yourself. Don't compare how you connect with God to how someone else connect with God. It's not healthy, and it won't cause anyone to grow. Number 2, don't dishonor or devalue how other people connect with God. It's amazing how many people have their own little weird tendencies, but they look down on others for what they do. So like the Gold Dust folks make fun of the laughing people. Or whatever it is. Listen, don't look down on how anyone else connects with God. It's not healthy, it's not wise, and it won't help anyone grow. And then third, this is really important, don't argue or get distracted by doctrinally neutral issues. What's a doctrinally neutral issue? It's something that the Bible is not clear on or doesn't speak to. So if the Bible doesn't speak to it, don't waste your time getting caught up over it. We have too many people that have been encountered, not the Holy Spirit, but a religious spirit. And their goal in life is to teach people how God doesn't move, but they can't tell you how he does. I don't need anyone with a Facebook PhD telling me how God doesn't move. I want to encounter God with people that know him and can teach me how he does move. So all week, or all, excuse me, for the rest of the year, the rest of this season, we're going to go over two different ways to connect with God every week when Heather and I minister. So this morning, the first one is this: you can connect with God through solitude. The way you connect with God is through solitude. You feel close to God when you get alone with him. In this special union, you're able to be intimate and vulnerable with the Lord. There's no greater intimacy than getting alone with God so that when he whispers, you absorb and hear everything he says. This is important. Solitude is when you're by yourself, you're not alone. Connecting with God through solitude is when you connect with him when you're by yourself. Abraham counted the stars by himself with God in Genesis chapter 12. Moses spent 40 years by himself on the backside of the desert, Exodus chapter 3. David learned the boldness to take on giants by himself, worshiping with sheep that his father owned, 1 Samuel chapter 17. So notice I said alone, not lone. The word lone means having no companions, lacking the supporters of others, isolated, unfrequented, and remote. It's where we get lone rangers. Lone rangers, you know those people that don't go to church? They call their loneliness church. They had a bad experience with a bad representative of the Father. And so because they had a bad experience at church, they decide that they're just going to do church by themselves at home where they can't get hurt. But they still gather people that have been hurt and they still continue to get hurt. Why? Because there's people. People are like, I can't believe there's hypocrites in church. Sure there is. You're here. There's hypocrites everywhere. Listen, it's not about having the right people here. It's about having the right heart no matter what happens. You'll have that right heart when you learn how to be alone with God. Look, God's not looking for spiritual lone rangers just to do things on their own. He's looking for people that meet with him in solitude. Then they come back and partner with other people that met with him in solitude. Hear God and obey God. And together, two puts 10,000 to flight and they advance the kingdom together, not by themselves. This is really important. You can be alone with God or in solitude and around other people. Some of you need to hear this because sometimes you get in a big church like this, you're like, oh, I don't want to go to a big church. Don't worry, we're a big church in a small community. There's over 1,000 people in small groups, groups all over the city all the time that are meeting in community. Not only that, but the vision isn't a big church. The vision is corporate encounters to daily encounter. So when you encounter God daily, guess what? It gets pretty small and intimate really quick when you connect with God through solitude. So you have to learn how to connect with God. You can connect with God through solitude, even though people are around. I had to learn this in Phoenix. As when I taught about connecting God through motion, you know that I connect with God when I run on the trail and I run and pray. It's my connect with God time. It's my daily encounter time. But when I was in Phoenix, they found cancer in my nose. And so they had to take this massive chunk out of my nose and put it back together. And so there was about a year that I couldn't run outside anymore. I had to run on a treadmill, which drove me crazy because I connect with God through motion and I'm running but not moving. And so I'm on this treadmill, and then all of a sudden I'd be at the gym on the treadmill, and then I would all of a sudden start feeling the presence of God. And one thing that I've done in a commitment to honor the presence of God is when I feel his tangible presence, I get on my knees no matter where I am. And that's me honoring the presence of God, saying, I recognize you and I want more. And so the Lord really mentored me in this in public at gyms when I was encountering him doing my daily encounter time at gyms. And so I'm on the treadmill of worship, and all of a sudden I feel the tangible presence of God, and I hear the Lord say, kneel before me. But Lord, there's people around. And they're going to think I'm a part of a different religion, and they're going to... Like this is weird. This is awkward. This is uncomfortable. And he would always say the same thing to me. Do you want to encounter me or not? I found myself on my face before the Lord in all sorts of uncomfortable, awkward, embarrassing positions and situations. But guess what? He keeps meeting me. I found myself this morning at 5 a.m. on the Trinity Trail. I know Pastor Zane was jealous about it. No, he was there this morning too. I'm on the Trinity Trail over and over, fighting myself on my knees before the Lord in solitude. You need to hear what I'm telling you. When you connect with God in solitude, you are by yourself, but you're not alone. Jesus was always in solitude. He was always connecting with God. Even though he didn't start his ministry till he was 30, he was in the wilderness, Matthew 4, on the other side of the lake, Mark chapter 5. He was alone walking on the water in Matthew 14. We talk about Peter walking on the water, but Jesus was out there by himself. Just walking on the water alone with God until Peter recognized him and asked to come and partner with him, watch, in solitude. When Peter partnered with Jesus in solitude, he began to walk on what others drown in. When you learn how to connect with God in solitude, you don't respond the same to the storms of life that everyone else does because you've been alone with God. We just did our Justice Run marathon, and I gave a prophetic word, I think it was a week or two before, that God was going to encounter or meet with everyone who ran in that race. And so I'm in the race, and I'm running, and I reminded the Lord of what he said to the congregation, to you. I said, Lord, if you said it to them, it's for me too. I want to encounter you. I want to hear from you. And so I got Mercy Culture Worship playing. I listened to like six services in a row on the run. And I'm running and worshiping. And all of a sudden, this storm starts rolling in. And I left hours before you 5K guys started. But apparently, you all left by the time I was coming around. Because there was thousands and thousands of people there who at some point, and I saw pictures, but I never saw you. And the police were making everybody leave, and it was unsafe. And I got to mile 23, and the security said, Pastor, you got to stop. I said, is there a threat, or is this about the weather? And they said, the weather, and I just kept running. I wasn't going to run 23 miles and not finish. I will take my chances. And I'm running and lightning's going off everywhere and these gusts of winds. And I hear the Lord say, son, I'm teaching you how to run through storms. I noticed, watch, when it was stormy, there wasn't a lot of people out there with me anymore. Watch, those that connect with God in solitude, you will last longer in the storms because you're used to being by yourself with God. Here's the thing. Jesus was constantly in solitude, but he was never alone. Luke 9:28 says about 8 days after saying these things, Jesus took Peter and John, James, and went up to the mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face altered. The clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah. And he appeared in glory, or the supernatural. That word supernatural is the only word connected to glory. It says this, and spoke of his departure when he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Now, Peter and those who were with him were heavy asleep, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men that were standing there. Look at verse 35. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my son, whom I, my chosen one, listen to him. And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. I love this. Jesus was constantly by himself, but he was never alone. Because when Jesus was in solitude, he was encountering God. The disciples got to witness his intimacy, him encountering God in this way. Watch, they heard his conversations with the Lord. but he was all by himself. Church, I'm telling you, if you connect with God in solitude, you come to a place where you don't need anything else. When I was 18 years old, I encountered the Holy Spirit intimately for the first time. My life was absolutely transformed. The Holy Spirit took me on a journey, and I'm still on it today. I'm more passionate and radical about my relationship with him now than I was at 18 years old. And I remember at 18 years old encountering the Holy Spirit so dramatically that I began to tell people I don't even need anything or anyone else. I'm gonna say it like this. My neediness left because my connection to God was so strong. I was running on the trail this week, and I saw in the Spirit, some in this congregation, that you struggle with loneliness. And even though I saw some of you were married, some of you have friends, some of you are successful, some of you are popular, you're social butterflies, but when you get alone, you begin to break down. And there's this loneliness on you. And I saw in the Spirit, you encountering God through solitude. And I saw that loneliness lift off you. I literally saw you couldn't wait to get away from people and get alone with God. There's something supernatural that's gonna happen today. See, this is where that scripture, Hebrews 13:5 comes into play, where he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When you connect with God in solitude, you know what it's like for him to never leave you or forsake you. Let me give you some practical advice. Go into hiding and get off media for periods of time. In 2020, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, I want you to get off social media for the year. I want you to go into hiding. That was a great year to get off social media, to be honest. But here's what he said. He said, I want you to get away from distractions and just hide yourself with me. He called me into an encounter of solitude for a year. You know what the problem is with media? It doesn't turn off. And you go to be alone with the Lord, and then all of a sudden your watch starts telling you in 10 minutes what you have, and tomorrow, and it's your dog's grooming appointment, and your friend's birthday, and look, it's National Cupcake Day, I better post about it, and it's this, or it's that, and someone likes this, and someone comments this, and there's this great distraction to your solitude because no one's around you, but things are constantly coming at you. If you cannot get away from media, it's bondage. It's beautiful just to try it out for a week and see how you do it. Some of you won't even be able to make it to stoplights. Turn to your neighbor and say, tell the truth, shame the devil. If you text encounter to the number that comes on the screen, you can see if you connect with God through solitude. We have different suggestions, activities, different encouragements, different things that you can put in your daily encounter to help God encounter, to help encounter God through solitude. Remember, there is only one way to God, and it's through Jesus, but in Jesus, there's many ways to connect with God. Today, you can connect with God through expression. You can connect with God through expression. When you express thought through creativity, you are beholding your creator and reflecting his image. You feel closest to God when you're able to commune with him while creating something. Connecting with God through expression is using your creative ability to encounter God. Whether it's through writing, drawing, painting, playing an instrument, dancing, filming, editing, styling, or anything that is creative. A lot of people aren't aware of this because the church has become so dull and boring. But God is the author of all creativity. Let me give you some scripture. Psalms 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The sky above proclaims his handiwork. Exodus 15:19, it says, Miriam was a prophetess, a sister of Aaron. She took a tambourine in her hand with all the other women with her tambourines, and they were dancing. Psalms 30:11 says this, you have turned my mourning into dancing. You have loosed sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. Psalms 154 says this, praise him with a dance. That wasn't suggestive. Some people are like, I just don't feel called to dance. I just don't feel like it's for me. Well, that's interesting because Ecclesiastes 3:4 says there's a time to dance. That time might be your deliverance to dance. See, God is the creator of all things. Well, fine. Okay, I saw you quoted some scriptures about dancing, but the flags are where I draw the line. The problem with that is God's name is, the Lord is our banner. See, all of this creative expression is a part of encountering God through creativity. In fact, in Genesis 1, you can't get five words through the Bible without it saying, in the beginning, God created. He is the author of creation, but the church has abandoned creativity. And so what has happened is we have caused those people that connect with God through creativity to have to leave the church, and then they have prostituted their gifts for other things because there's no place for them in God's house. You need to understand this. God gives specific anointings just for creativity. In Exodus chapter 35, there was a man named Bezalel. And it says this in verse 31, he was filled with the Spirit of God. God filled him with his Spirit just so he could create. He's mentioned in the Bible as being a Spirit-filled creative. Oh, I just heard this in my spirit. Some of you own construction companies and you didn't realize you were creative. Wow. And then you look down on those that dance when you connect with God the same way. I'm telling you here, there's breakthrough when you start learning how to encounter God in these different ways. Genesis chapter 1:2, it says, the earth was without form and void. Darkness was over the face of the earth, and the Spirit of God was hovering over it. I love what Pastor Jasmine says. She said, and then God used creativity to solve the problem of voidness. He created the world. He created mankind. He created every living thing. He created the heavens and the earth. He's still creating through his creation. Even miracles are creative. It's creative to say, hey, walk around that city seven times and I'll give it to you. It's creative to say, just go have a conversation with that dumb rock and water's going to pour out of it. It's creative to say, just throw your nets to the other side and see what happens. It's creative to spit in someone's face and say, ha, go wash and see your eyes be open. Listen, miracles are creative. Pastors, could that be why miracles have left our church? Because we've pushed out creativity? That the miracles were in the creativity? Erica leads part of our performing arts team. And one time she was on the stage. Erica, you've been a gift to this house. I honor you and I celebrate you. And one time she's standing on the middle of the stage and I was right over here and she just did this kick. And as she did this kick, I just felt waves of the presence of God come and hit me over there. Through her kick. Well, I don't know what they're doing up there. You haven't encountered God enough. We have one of our online campus members who was painting on our stage one service. It wasn't a service. It was an event outside of our church. And the Lord gave her a vision of a lady's face. So she painted the woman's face. But the woman came to the event that the painting was displayed at. And she walks up to the painting of herself and said, how did you paint me? And the creative in our community got to say, the Lord showed me a picture of your face. I guess you're on his heart. It is amazing to pastor a house full of creatives. And I want to let you know, creatives, you're not just tolerated here. You're celebrated here. You're welcomed here. You're honored here. You'll be defended here. You'll be empowered here. You'll be loosed here because you're going to help us connect with God through expression. But let me warn all you creatives that I love so much. You have to be careful, because if you do not create through righteousness, you'll create carnality. The enemy cannot create. He can only emulate and replicate, and he's done a really good job. And he tries to steal the attention of people through creativity. And then instead of reflecting the image of God, this is why it's so important that we bring it back and we house it in the church and we celebrate it in the church, because people are able to encounter God through creativity. But if you don't let them encounter God through creativity, they will encounter the world through creativity. We see this in the Word of God in Exodus chapter 37. This is wild. I'm going to paraphrase this a little bit, but in Exodus chapter 32, Joshua is on the mountain being with God, and God is writing the Ten Commandments with his hand. We go ahead and put the text up on the screen. He hears this sound of war in the camp. Joshua said, I hear this sound of war. And Moses said, it's the sound of defeat. And as Moses makes his way down the mountain, he sees the people naked, cutting themselves, worshiping a false god, a golden calf. And when he finds out what happens, it gets even worse, because his brother is now making the image of carnality in worship. He's making this idol. While he was away with God, his associate pastor is ushering the people into wickedness. It gets worse. God is writing with his very finger, don't make any idols before me, and Aaron is down the mountain making idols as he's writing it. Moses comes down and begins to rebuke everyone. Aaron's response was, the people are rebellious, they're wicked. And here's what he says, verse 24, he said, I said to them, let who have gold take it off. So they gave it to me, and he threw it in the fire, and out came this calf. When Moses saw that the people had broken loose, someone say broken loose, for Aaron had let them break loose. This is so important. Aaron had let them, watch, the gatekeepers had let them. So while Moses is being intimate with the Lord, he's letting the people break loose. That word break loose in the Hebrew is to expose yourself or nakedness. See, Adam and Eve were in the garden and they were naked and had no shame, because they were clothed in righteousness. They were clothed in glory. See, when God creates, he clothes in his beauty. When the enemy mimics and emulates and replicates, he takes clothing off for perversity. Y'all, this is what we are seeing happen in America right now. We are seeing the world begin to worship sexuality. And you know it's wickedness when everything is confusion. When they add a new letter, number, symbol, past LGBTQ every other day, it's because they are adding to their idols. They are adding to their wickedness. They are adding to this false worship. And here's the thing that you need to understand, is this carnality is spiritual warfare. This wickedness is destroying the people of God. Idols are created when God's creation creates something to worship. The creation of carnality is the cry of spiritual defeat. See, when you connect with God through expression, but you allow carnality to enter in instead, you don't connect people to God anymore. You connect them to the demonic. And that is what we are seeing happen in America, is we're seeing creatives connect people to the demonic. So why is expression supernatural? Because when you connect with God through expression, it brings your attention back to the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 16 says, the ark of the Lord came to the city of David. Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked through the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. Look at this. She despised him in her heart And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings, peace offerings before the Lord. Verse 20. And David returned to bless his household. But Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, "How the king of Israel has honored himself today, uncovering himself today before the eyes of his servants, his female servants, and the one vulgar fellow shamelessly uncovers himself." Verse 21, and David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me above your father, above his house, and appointed me as the prince over Israel and the people of the Lord, and I will celebrate before the Lord." Look at verse 22. "I will make myself even more contemptible or undignified than this, and I will be abased in your eyes. But by my female servants whom you have spoken, I shall be held in honor." Look at verse 23. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. The storyline here is that David recently became king, and he made it his first priority to go get the presence of God back. Saul reigned as king for 42 years, and he never tried to get the ark or the presence of God back. But David's greatest desire was the presence of God. And so he had to learn some lessons on the way, but he finally gets the presence of God to come back. And when he's getting the presence of God to come back, he is entering it with the royal triumphant parade. And here's what he did. When his wife began to mock him about how he undressed himself, it's important to understand he was not naked, or he was not vulgar like those that worshiped a golden calf. But what he did was, is he took off his royal robes. He took off his crown. He took off his royal robes. And he was left with common man's garments. He removed his identity. He removed his prestige. He removed his titles. He removed what everybody looked to him as a king. And he wasn't worshiping as a king. He was worshiping as a son. But his wife began to mock him. See, people will mock those that make themselves look foolish in humility. See, prideful people will always stand up in windowsills looking down with hardened hearts towards people encountering God through expression. See, the religious spirit doesn't like encountering God through expression. See, the religious spirit wants to be pious. The religious spirit wants to already be better and hold your titles and hold your affiliations and not let anything come and make you look lowly in front of people. Because remember, that religious spirit says, "I'm better than you. I'm more spiritual than you. I'm superior to you." So when David is coming in humility, taking off his crown, humbling himself before the Lord, watch, it pricked the heart of his prideful wife, who was raised by a prideful King Saul. Maybe David knew. Maybe God showed him Revelations chapter 4 in the throne room. Because in the throne room of God, every elder takes off their crowns. Every elder lays it down before the king. See, there's something powerful. Watch. You begin to enter the presence of God, the holy place, when you remove your title, when you remove your pride, when you can lay it down and come in with passion as a son or a daughter to worship your king. Don't ever be in a church where your pastor doesn't worship. There's too much pride. There needs to be this desire just to be in the presence of a king. David was saying, "I'm not the king." You know what's wild about Revelations chapter 4? Is that the section is entitled Worshiping the Creator. Maybe some of you have not experienced the freedom and deliverance that you need because your crown is on. How do you take off a crown? Get on your knees. He might tell you to unbutton that tie. He might tell you to do something crazy. He might tell you wild, lay flat on the floor. I'm not doing that. What are people going to think? What does God think? But here's what's wild. Watch this. Scripture says in verse 23, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. Theologians argue, did she not have children because the Lord closed her womb? Or did she not have children because David refused to be intimate with her? Regardless, she either lost intimacy with her husband or lost intimacy with her God. But those that mock or devalue those that worship God through expression, you will lose your ability to be intimate with God, and you'll lose your ability to reproduce. I was on the trail this week praying, and I listen to my sermons before I preach them. I write my sermons, and then I'll listen to them 20 to 50 times. I'm listening to my sermon. I'm on the trail. I'm spending time with the Lord. And I think about an expression I've seen in worship that I don't quite understand. And instantly I felt my heart devalue what I didn't understand or experience yet. And then the Lord corrected me. And he said, you need to repent. You've devalued my value. And as soon as I repented to the Lord in that moment, he said, now tell the people to do the same thing. And there's individuals in this room that you have looked down on others that encounter God through expression. Oh, look at those creatives. Look at those people. Right? Look at how I'd never do that. I'd never make myself look like that. I'd never put myself in that position. I can't. The women are dancing, but when that guy dancing and when this happens and you begin to look down and mock in your heart. And I heard the Lord tell me that he was going to heal things in your life and deliver you from things when you repented for dishonoring what God values. The good news is your pastor had to repent first. I want to let you macho men know that the one who danced undignified was the warrior king. The one that embarrassed himself and looked like a fool in the eyes of man was the one who took on the giant that no man was man enough to face. All of the enemies of Israel were terrified, but there was one that played a harp and danced who wasn't afraid, who said, who is this undignified Philistine that defies the armies of the living God? I'm telling you, there is something powerful when men will worship their creator through expression. Not only is there something powerful for you, but there's freedom in it. Let me show you a text the Lord put on my heart this week. Genesis chapter 30. Genesis chapter 30 says this. Then Jacob took fresh sticks of poplar and almond and plane trees, and he peeled with streaks in them, exposing white of the sticks. He set the sticks that he had peeled in front of the flocks and the troughs, that in the watering places where the flocks came to drink, and since they bred, they would come to drink. Verse 39, the flocks bred in front of the sticks, and the flocks brought forth striped, speckled, and spotted. The story is about a man named Jacob who was a creative. Remember, he was the sensitive son that compared himself to the warrior son. He devalued how he encountered God, and he thought that his brother encountered God a different way. He put a greater value on his brother. He was the one that sowed. He was the one that cooked. He was the one that was more sensitive. And he was the one that deceived his brother. His brother came to kill him. He ran away from his brother, and he found himself in an unknown land. He ran into kinfolk. He worked 14 years for a woman that he loved. He was tricked by his father-in-law. He was oppressed by his extended family. And now he's stuck in bondage because his father-in-law, who's now his captor, is tormenting him. He served an oppressive family member for 20 years, and his desire is to break free. He is looking for deliverance. Watch. So he accessed his creative gift. He went to his father-in-law and said, "You don't value spotted and speckled sheep and goats. For my 20 years of wages, would you give me these goats and sheep?" His father-in-law said, "Yeah," manipulated the situation, gave him almost nothing. So he took the almost nothing and asked the God of creativity to do a creative miracle. So watch, he took the spotted and speckled sheep and goats that no one wanted, and there was just a few of them, and he took them, and he had all of the sheep breed in front of the watering troughs in front of sticks that were stripped. So that when the sheep would drink and they would breed, they gave birth to what they saw. So you need to understand this. Creatives, you will give birth to what you see. See, this is the plan of God, but it's also the attack of the enemy. The plan of God is that you are intimate with him and you behold him and you see the things of God, the mysteries of God, the creation of God, the beauty of God, and you give birth to that beautiful creation of godliness and holiness that you see. But the enemy is coming to divert and pervert. He's coming to distract. And so the entire world went on shutdown called COVID for a year, and they just begin to watch things for a year. Perversion on social media, lewdness on TikTok, movies filled with perversion. It's amazing how many people in the church look down on those that worship God with expression, but defile themselves with what they watch. Hear me. You will give birth to what you gaze upon. So they were intimate. And a creative miracle took place. And these sheep and goats began to produce and reproduce spotted and speckled of their kind because it's what they gazed upon. The Lord spoke to me this week. He said, "There's something more in here." Jacob was a creative that was oppressed and in bondage. He was held captive and prisoner by his father-in-law. He was manipulated and taken advantage of. Watch. So God, through his creativity, gave him freedom and deliverance through a creative miracle. When the sheep and goats gave birth to sheep and goats, it created so much wealth. It created so much that his father-in-law was forced to allow him to go because there was so much blessing. There was so much favor. There was so much freedom and deliverance. Watch, not just for himself. But it was enough for his family. Watch. Even when he had to go meet his brother, Eli, guess what? He had all of these gifts. He had all of these flocks. He had all these herds. His gifts created a room for him all through the creative expression. Here's what I want to let you know. Watch. Connecting with God through expression is supernatural, because not only do you connect with God, but others connect with God through your encounter with God. There's some of you that have suppressed your ability to create because you didn't know it was a gift from God. There's some of you that you have defiled your gift for things of the world because you didn't know how God honors it. And some of us just haven't been taught what was going on. I want to let you know, He wants to encounter you. He wants to encounter you through movement, through conversation, through solitude. He wants to encounter you through expression. There's one way to God through Jesus. But in Jesus, there's many ways to connect with God. And my prayer for you is that you break free from religious entanglements, that religious oppression and bondage, and you learn how to encounter the God of freedom, the God of deliverance, the God of breakthrough.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.